It is always an honor and a pleasure to welcome Dr. Herbert Woodward Martin back to Around Cincinnati. Dr. Martin served as professor of English and poet in residence at the University of Dayton for more than three decades, where he taught creative writing and African-American literature. He's the author of eight previous volumes of poetry and has devoted decades to the editing and performances of the works of poet and novelist Paul Laurence Dunbar. He has also collaborated with a number of American composers and had a number of his poems set to music. Most recently, he performed Copland's A Lincoln Portrait with the Springfield Symphony Orchestra. Dr. Martin is also the recipient of the Ohio Governor's Award. I am so happy to be back with you, Dr. Martin.
Well, thank you. It's awfully nice to be back and to have you put on the wire all of my history.
It's an impressive one. Tonight, we're going to talk about your latest book of poetry, which is titled On the Flyleaf. And I wonder if you would tell us just a little bit about this title of the book.
What happens to me sometimes is that I forget my notebook where I keep most of my drafts for poems. And sometimes I'm caught with a book of poetry. Now, generally, those books have one or two extra pages at the end of the poems that I'm reading. And they are called by the publisher and the editors flyleafs. And so what I do is, if I get an idea, I scribble my notes on one of those pages. And then when I have some time, I come home and write them down or put them in the computer and print them out to see what I have. And then I start working on the drafts. But those drafts are initially written on the flyleaf of someone else's poems. And what I've done just to key the people who buy the book so they know exactly what it is that they're reading or why I did that, I put the sources by title and author so that they can refer to those at the end of the book and see whose book of poems I was reading at the time of that draft.
I'm very glad for your piggybacking. Wherever these poems started, they are wonderful, and many of them seem very personal to me, often about family or friends, and yet that kernel of universal truth is there. So if you would, read us the first On the Flyleaf poem. It is On the Book of Light.
Yes, On the Flyleaf of the Book of Light. My Caucasian friends are curious to a misdemeanor. They want to know the adoptive meaning of black. What is this century-old mystery of survival? What is the buoyancy that lies beneath my skin? I say, there is no secret formula, no fairy godmother appearing from out of nowhere, no three wishes given, no daring prince arriving with a working entourage, carrying with them a matching naked slipper, and no princess to be rescued. I repeat, change lives in my blood. My friends may never understand that change is placing one tedious foot in front of another.
The fact that some folks make it look easy doesn't mean it isn't hard work.
Well, I think oftentimes my mother says, this is the way it is, so put one foot in front of the other and get busy.
Yeah.
So I normally try to do that as much as I can.
Yes, get on with it.
Yes.
On the cover of On the Flyleaf is a poem, and the first line of it is, poetry is a different kind of conversation. Your poem, On the Flyleaf of Transformation, is about a moment in your mother's life. It was a very touching poem to me. It's actually about a missed conversation, but out of which you fashioned a poem. So if you would read that, please.
On the Flyleaf of Transformation. In the assisted living facility, the attendant told me, Your mother called for you all day long. Hubbard, Hubbard. When it was evening, she didn't call anymore. She hasn't spoken since. I think she has made her peace. I think she can die now. Was there no one who gave a thought to call me? I am her next of kin. She told me once a similar story of her stepmother on her dying bed, calling for her. But those who heard her knew the misery she had caused and did not call my mother. And so her stepmother died unforgiven. Why does her story haunt me now that I know we are losing her? I see her moving safely on. Silence has a Sunday face.
Do you recall when poetry first came into your life, how it came in, how old you were, where you were, or maybe the first poem that really touched your heart?
Well, I can tell you that in my childhood, we used to make up stories. We used to go and watch the movies on the weekends that generally started Thursday night and then Fridays and Saturdays, and then they changed the movies again on Sunday, so we got a different kind of movie. But all the kids in the neighborhood went to the same serials. We called them chapters because they only played a portion of it each week for, say, 12 or 13 weeks. And so we memorized all those parts and came home and reinvented them. So I started doing that kind of thing. I think maybe my first poem is long gone in somebody's memory, but not mine, so I don't know where it is. I do remember writing things in college, but as one of my teachers said, they were the most god-awful things that she'd ever read. And so most of those things have been destroyed, so critics can't find them. I don't know what the answer to that question is any longer.
Well, we're glad you kept putting one foot in front of the other poetically and didn't let her dissuade you. I would love for you to read two poems in tandem. One is on the flyleaf of The Bluest Eye, and the other is on the flyleaf of No Other World.
On the flyleaf of The Bluest Eye. His mother swore on her private heart that there had never been any insurance man sniffing around my front door and hoping to slip out of her back door unnoticed. I paid my bills on time. I was never late. No company ever had to garnish my wages to recoup their money. That was her final declaration on the subject. Even so, there remained an indelible blue circle around her son's eyes, a hole in the ethereal blue, and there was no one given his mother's sworn oath to tell him otherwise. The evidence says someone white was lurking around his grandmother's or great-grandmother's kitchen, like the black woman who held sway over George Washington's barbecue pit, that she ultimately cooked her way to freedom with a tad more barbecue sauce than usual, and ultimately opened her own restaurant in New York City. Now that is what I call cooking, if your eyes have the slightest hint of blue in them. On the flyleaf of No Other World. A southerner connects with the blue in my eyes. He sees rings in my background and wonders who put them there. I do not know. My license states that my eyes are brown. Who is to say where that blue came from? Now that my mother and father are dead and both sets of their parents are deceased, who is left to say what the history of this blue implies? Somewhere in the deep deep, dark background, someone white is languishing there, waiting.
So interesting to hear these different poems coming from the same blue inspiration.
Yes. There was a young kid I read somewhere, I think it was in South Carolina, and I opened the reading up to questions. That was his question. He wanted to know why there was blue in my eyes. And I said, well, I don't think there is, but one never looks at oneself like that, I think. But at any rate, he did point out, and I subsequently saw the ring of blue there, but there's no answer as to why that blue is in my eyes.
An eternal mystery in your life.
Yes.
Yeah. As always, you have enriched us with your poetry and your presence. I want to thank you so much for joining us tonight.
Well, you're more than welcome, and it's always a pleasure to be invited. Somebody wrote me the other day and asked, why are you coming to the library? And I said, well, because there are always books in the library, because someone invited me to come to this library. So whenever someone invites me, I always try to make an effort to get there. And I am pleased to just get to be invited and to get to read the poems.
Thank you so much. We'll keep sending those invitations.
Thank you. You have a pleasant evening.
I've been talking with Dr. Herbert Woodward Martin about his latest book of poetry, On the Flyleaf. You'll find more information about it at wvxu.org. For Around Cincinnati, I'm Barbara Gray.